Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the last verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so one verse of a hymn goes like this: the Word became incarnate and yet remains on high, and cherubim sing anthems to shepherds from the sky. Repeat the song again: to God on high be glory and peace on earth to men. The Word became flesh, and along come the mysteries. God sustains everything, and yet here he is, needing to be warmed and fed. The angels sing, glory to God in the highest, and yet the glory of God is to step down out of the highest, out of heaven, and be laid in a manger in that lowly place. And he will go even further, by the way, being hungry and tempted and pray and be arrested and die under the burden of our sins, carrying them for the entire human race. He is true God, and yet he will thirst. He is true man, but he has come to raise our humanity up to the glories of heaven. We pray to this human being because this man is God. Mary holds and carries this tiny baby, and yet he rules over all heaven and earth. Think big. The finite cannot contain the infinite, so they say. And yet this tiny infant holds the universe, all the vast stars, the circling planets, and the flow of our days and years. Think small. We are not called to ponder the vast things and the unimaginable greatness of things to figure out what God is like. Instead, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God calls us to the stable and to the manger to find and see the face of God. Indeed, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the Old Testament, at the dedication of the temple, Solomon said, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. And yet God promises to dwell among us. And we have, as Martin Luther put it, we have this hairy God with fingers and toes, with eyes and nose, actually dwelling among us, laid in the manger, walking with his disciples, eating with sinners. Again, Luther, I want no other God than this hairy God. I want no other God than this God who so truly became flesh. There he was in the manger, needing to be fed and clothed and changed by his mother. I want this God who cares for me so much that he steps down out of heaven, lays aside the glory and the power, turns away from the angel choirs, makes himself like me. And has designed the plan of salvation in such a way that it all comes together in his flesh. This is where God has put himself. And God says, here you can find me with my mercy only in the flesh of that human child who was born for you and would grow up for you and suffer for you and rise for you. And John continues, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Because in this little baby we find the greatest of all truths. In him we find God, who is in himself that one place of salvation, that one place of life. Only in this child, only in this God with skin on him. God with skin that can reach out and touch the leper and heal the blind with vocal cords to call 4 days dead Lazarus out of the tomb. God with saliva to spit on the ground and make mud from that and heal the eyes of the man born blind. God with hands and feet to receive nails driven through them and do the winning of forgiveness. God with that entire body to be laid in the tomb and rise from the dead and so make promises to our bodies that we also will rise and live and see him in glory. And all of this is in the manger as Jesus begins his journey of winning our salvation. This, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, is what the whole world is called to behold and know, the glory of God in the birth of this child. Truly became one of us. Body and soul, with a human soul that knows what it is like to anticipate tomorrow, to have some uncertainty, to kneel in prayer, to have to be obedient to God his Father, even when the Word of God does not right away speak blessings. And so he walks our walk. He knows what it is like to be inside a human body. And the angels sing glory to God in the highest. And the wise men, they come and they say, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? We have come to worship him. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Thomas, that 1 week after Easter, sees the same flesh, the hands, the feet, the side, the the eyes and the ears, the fingers and toes. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Then here's a very odd turn of events. He comes into this world taking human flesh, part of our human nature, our human flesh, and he takes that on himself in order to win salvation. And in just a few moments, he will take that human flesh. That human body that was born for us, grew up for us, walked the roads of Palestine for us, knelt in the garden for us, was arrested for us, hung on the cross for us, bled and died for us, was laid in the tomb for us, and rose from the dead for us. He will take that living body and he will return it to us. But it's been changed. It has been transformed by having the Son of God be one of us. And as he gives us his body and his blood in the Lord's Supper, he says, take and eat. My body given for you. Drink. My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And in that meal, then he promises once again the transforming of this flesh, so that one day when he returns, and on that day when we see him face to face, we will be transformed into his likeness to receive and share his glory, and to live the eternal life that he has brought into this world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Jesus' name, Amen.